All right, now I want to talk about world news, current events, and all the issues related to it. I mean, there are many ways to start this, and I like to just focus a little bit on the debate, which most of you probably have been watching. I most certainly have. And depending on who you speak to, either Mr. Trump won or Mr. Biden won. If you are listening to conservative voices, then Mr. Trump won. If you listen to more liberal voices, then Mr. Biden won. It was interesting to me that we had several publications overseas, like The Telegraph, which is a left-wing English paper. According to them, Mr. Biden won. But then The Express, which is more like a conservative English paper, Mr. Trump won. Piers Morgan, about whom I will speak in a moment, felt that Mr. Trump won. Surprisingly, Deutsche Welle, which is not a pro-Trump publication, felt that Mr. Trump won. But ultimately, it doesn't matter so much as to who won the debate. The question is, did it make any difference when it comes to the voters? Now, of course, many millions have already voted, as you know. Nevertheless, I believe that there were two, maybe three interesting aspects you could take from the debate, which might, perhaps, change the voters' view a little bit. The one was the colossal blunder by Mr. Biden at the end of the debate when he spoke about oil and that there's going to be a transition to do away with oil. And even the Democrats saw how big of a blunder that was. And then Mr. Biden was pretty much encouraged to rectify and clarify his comments after the debate, and when he did, he created even more upheaval. Then Kamala Harris came and she tried to rectify, and that was even more problematic because she said, oh, well, you know, it's Trump, he takes everything out of context, whereas, you know, millions of people listened and watched what Mr. Biden had said. Now, this morning, Mr. Trump had a rally over there in Florida, and he showed a video to the audience there, which was produced by Bernie Sanders. And as you will recall, Mr. Biden was also asked, you know, whether he's going to do with the Social Security and Medicare. And he said, oh, I've never ever said that. And the video produced by Bernie Sanders showed the opposite, gave quote after quote after quote as to where Mr. Biden did say that. And the same is pretty much true with fracking. So these were the blunders on his side. I believe the blunder by Mr. Trump was that he did not really address forcefully enough this debacle having to do with Hunter Biden and, of course, the involvement of Joe Biden. Now, they focused on whether Joe Biden got any money from those transactions, but that isn't really the issue. The issue is, did he lie to the American people when he said that he never knew anything about Hunter Biden's transactions? And that seems to be pretty much clear now that he did know. That is what Mr. Trump should have pointed out, and he didn't. I think that was a mistake on his part. Nevertheless, is it going to change anything? Well, I found an interesting article this morning. And they talked about these two different concepts of popular vote and the electoral vote, a system which only exists in the United States. You don't find that anywhere else. But, you know, I was talking to Mrs. Adair and my wife this morning when we drove up here. In recent memory, who were the two situations where actually the president who became the president lost the popular vote, but still became president because of the electoral vote? Of course, the last one was Mr. Trump. Hillary Clinton had the popular vote, but he still became president. And the one before that was Al Gore and Mr. Bush. Al Gore had the popular vote, but Mr. Bush still became president. So that's a possibility right now that he is going to lose, Mr. Trump is going to lose the popular vote and still might win the electoral vote. But what if he wins, or loses rather, the popular vote and the electoral vote? Is there still a possibility that he stays in power? And the article I'm referring to says, yeah, absolutely, there is another possibility. And if you want to know what that is, you got to wait for the next update, because I'm not going to tell you. But I was surprised about this possibility. It's definitely a distinct possibility. And that brings me here to some issues I want to address based on the current events. Here's an article, we entitled that one, Pat Robertson's False Predictions. Let me just read to you from the article. It's done by The Hill, dated October 20. Televangelist Pat Robertson said on Tuesday that God told him President Trump will win, and more than five years later, an asteroid will hit Earth and maybe bring the end. The 90-year-old forecasted disaster for the country and the world after the election, including civil unrest, at least two attempts on Trump's life, and a war against Israel that will be put down by God. Then the world will see at least 5 years or more of extraordinary peace before the asteroid. What I think, very frankly, is the only thing that will fulfill the word of Jesus is some kind of asteroid strike on the globe, he said. It's a sudden destruction. It's not going to be some nuclear war. We are not going to be allowed to blow the Earth up. And following a description of the asteroid's damage, Robertson said, then maybe the end would come next. The article goes on to say that televangelists had made similar predictions in the past, saying in 1976 the world would end in 1982. His 1990 book, The New Millennium, anticipated that the end time would be on April 29, 2007. Couldn't be more precise than that, except it didn't happen on April 29, 2007. Before I comment on this, let me just read to you what we added here in the update to this article. We wonder how God told him. His predictions have not been that accurate, to say the least, and even though we believe too, and I'm saying this right now and putting my whatever on the line, we believe too that Trump will stay in power. And we have said that long before Robertson ever announced his revelation. There will be a nuclear war between the United States and Europe, starting the Great Tribulation. Israel will also be defeated by European armies. Asteroids, or stars falling down from heaven, will strike this planet, but they are not the main cause for its destruction. And there will be absolutely no 5 years or more of extraordinary peace prior to Christ's return. In fact, Christ said that if those days wouldn't be shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. Now, that's what the Bible says. Why do I bring this up? First of all, I hear this all the time. Televangelists talk about God told me. But how did God tell them? Did they hear voices? I mean, did a voice speak to them? We have said 4 years ago, more than 4 years ago, that not only would President Trump be the president at the time, but he would stay in power even now. We didn't say that because we heard a voice. I mean, I would be very concerned if I would have heard a voice. But we feel that God inspired us to say these things. Now, as I said, the reputation is on the line, but I still feel very strongly that Mr. Trump is going to stay in power. But you see, you have to be careful when you hear these statements made, God told me, and then whatever God told people is in most cases not what the truth shows. I know of one guy who claims to be a prophet, even allegedly was ordained to be a prophet, even though he wasn't. And he said, oh, I've never made a prediction which wasn't true. Well, he did say very clearly 4 years ago that Mr. Trump will not win, that Hillary Clinton would win, because it says, you know, that women will rule the country. Maybe his memory isn't all that great anymore, but I most certainly vividly remember that. You see, all this scenario Mr. Robertson is pointing out here, just about everything is wrong. Just about everything is wrong. But people are being confused, people are being misled. You may also perhaps think of leaders in God's church. I'm talking about in more recent memory. Of course, we made the big mistake too, that many, many years ago we thought that maybe Christ would come back in 1975. It was never declared as being a doctrine, but it was speculated upon. But we should have learned our lessons. But then recently, a leader of one of the three major Church of God groups, the person by now has died, said that Jesus Christ would come back in 1917. That was complete nonsense when he said it, and of course it didn't happen. So we got to be careful with predictions, specifically when it comes to putting dates on those predictions. Again, it's just a warning to be careful there. And as I said, we have to just watch to see how it's going to happen, how it's going to play out. I personally feel, I've said that before, that President Trump is going to be the last president of the United States of America, the way we know it. But that doesn't mean that everything is going to be over in 4 years, because there are lots of articles, lots of concepts, lots of ideas that he could stay in power even after the 4 years, based on legal ramifications. So let's not jump ahead too quickly insofar as saying, oh, we know everything is going to be over in 2 or 3 or 4 years. But once it's over, in other words, once the Great Tribulation starts, there's going to be war all the way through until Christ returns. No space for any war, any peace in between. That is complete utter nonsense, what Mr. Robertson has been here talked about. Okay, going through the update, I mentioned that I would talk a little bit about Piers Morgan. Now, Piers Morgan, you know, this is a commentator over there in England. He has also been a moderator on CNN, actually, for a while. Also a judge on America Got Talent. But Piers Morgan attacks Facebook, Twitter, and the mass media for the fact that they have absolutely suppressed any article talking about the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden disaster. And so he said that is complete censorship. And so this article, which was published by the Daily Mail, brings this out. In the meantime, he went even further because he was supposed to give an interview on CNN. And now CNN didn't like what he said, so they uninvited him. And Piers Morgan, this morning it was published, said, well, another example of complete, total, utter censorship by the left-wing media. He said, if you are for Trump, you don't have a chance to talk. If you are against Trump, oh, they all come and ask you to give an interview. That's the way we are voicing and observing what is happening in the United States of America, the land of the free and the brave. I want to jump to England, since we are talking about England right now. We have an article in here by Der Spiegel talking about a looming disaster. Brexit threatens to become the messiest of messy divorces. As you probably have heard, they have kind of stopped any negotiations. Now they're trying to resurrect some of them. Perhaps that they would still get a deal between Europe and the UK. We'll have to see how this plays out. Macron is completely against it. He doesn't want to give up the right to have their fishermen fish in UK waters. Again, it's one of these things where it's a self-inflicted injury by the British people, because humanly speaking, it was an absolutely ridiculous decision to depart from the EU. But we know it's all prophesied. And so we're not going to look at human standards, human concepts. We understand what the Bible says. And the relationship between the UK and the EU will end up in war. So therefore, there had to be a separation between those two powers. You also heard about, I bet, the same-sex civil union concept by Pope Francis, where he now apparently has made this comment already in 2019. The Vatican suppressed it until now. Now it came out. And of course, it came also out with some very, very strong objections by the more conservative wing of the Catholic Church. So we don't know exactly how that's going to play out. But right now, big controversy again within the Catholic Church on that one. We have an article here regarding Cuomo's anti-Semitic attack on religious freedom. But I want to just read the comment we have made following the article. It says, a German government is contemplating limiting worship services to 10 people in attendance. It's also considering passing a law which would grant ambitious health minister Jens Spahn, who has now been allegedly tested positive for the coronavirus and went into strict isolation, they want to grant him unlimited power, unlimited sole autocratic power, to fight the coronavirus. And then Merkel also appealed repeatedly, even today, to Germans to stay at home, if possible. I mean, a voluntary lockdown pretty much is again proposed in Germany at this point, but it goes further. I will talk about that in a moment. It's also interesting that the Jews are now being blamed again for the coronavirus. More and more papers, more and more governments say, oh, the Jews are at fault. Now, how the Jews are at fault is a mystery, But nevertheless, it's something which happened in the Middle Ages. It happened before. It looks like the Jews are always a scapegoat, and they're always being blamed for whenever anything goes wrong. See, anti-Semitism is still well alive in Germany, in the United States, everywhere in the world. And that is something we should also understand. When it comes to censorship, there's an article by Israel 365 News, according to which a very prominent doctor stated that masks don't stop coronavirus. He says, and the lies. Of course, he has been suppressed. They did not want to publish that. And he has a lawsuit going on against, I think it was Twitter, one of those it was Twitter. Twitter suppressed it. Like you know, Twitter suppressed the New York Post article about the Biden scandal, And it's still blocked. The article is still blocked, even now, after more and more evidence comes in that there is something to it. Now, why did I say earlier that I feel that President Trump should have focused more on the fact that Biden lied to the people rather than the financial side of things? Well, because after all, I mean, he had financial transactions going on in China too, Trump that is, and most American voters wouldn't understand the distinctions. Well, am I saying that American voters don't have the mental capacity and understanding? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because if they did, they wouldn't vote, right? That's my point. I mean, how can you be of a sound mind and vote for these presidential elections? That's something you should really think about. But anyway, there's another one by Twitter. They removed the politically incorrect statement on masks, so they say, by White House coronavirus advisor Dr. Scott Atlas, who also said, no, masks don't work. Now, that's something you don't want to hear. So that was removed by Twitter right away. Right away. And more is happening, which I will tell you in a moment. I'm just going right now through the update as we have it. Erdogan, the guy from Turkey, was saying Jerusalem is our city. So the city of Turkey, so you can figure what that means. And we also have an article in there that it says that the temple, the third temple, will be built. And that's one of the reasons why we have been saying that President Trump is going to stay in power, because he will help. He will help us building the third temple, the prophesied third temple. Biden wouldn't. That's just one of the reasons. I was reading an article by a very prominent rabbi who was saying today that, yes, Trump is going to stay in power because he has a job to fulfill regarding Jerusalem, and he hasn't fulfilled it yet. Now, he didn't talk about the third temple, but he did talk about the fact that Trump has a job still to do insofar as Israel and Jerusalem is concerned, and he is right on that one. But, of course, there are many more reasons. An article we have here by Die Welt, why all of Merkel's partners end up being destroyed. I thought that was quite interesting, Die Welt being actually a conservative magazine. But again, I want to read to you our comments. Merkel was also largely responsible for the downfall of former Chancellor Helmut Kohl, stabbing him in the back, as many claim. Merkel is right now nothing more than a lame duck. Some are preparing for taking her helm. At this point, according to NTV, October 9, Jens Spahn is the most popular candidate in Merkel's party. He is also openly gay. In an interview with Dom Radio, dated October 9, he said that God made him so for a reason, and that there is no contradiction between being Catholic, conservative, and gay, adding that the Catholic rituals of the Holy Roman Church give him support in his daily life. And then we added, it will be interesting to see who is going to succeed Merkel and whether he could be a candidate for the beast, mentioned in the book of Revelation. The time is ripe for sure. We have another article about European imperialism is preparing for war. And finally, Germany's military presence in Lithuania. So far, this update from this week, but I'd like to add some more. Deutsche Welle wrote on October 21 about the threat to German democracy. Now, this goes hand in hand with what we have already discussed. It starts off by saying this. Repeatedly, Chancellor Merkel met with all 16 premiers of Germany's powerful federal states to decide on measures to curb the coronavirus pandemic. At the latest one last week, politicians across the spectrum, began complaining that for months now, such measures were all decided behind closed doors and without due parliamentary debate or consultation. And so they all, across the board, are objecting to what they perceive to be dictatorship in Germany. A parliamentarian of the AfD, you know, which is the conservative opposition party, the biggest in Germany, and they have been maligned as being right-wing radicals, which is complete nonsense. They're not. Now, there might be some right-wing radicals in that party, as there are in this CDU, Merkel's party, and there might be some left-wing radicals in the Social Democratic Party, yes, of course, but not as a whole. And this man has given an extraordinary lecture, and some people sent that video to me, showing how Germany is already on the road towards a complete, total dictatorship, reminiscent of what happened in World War II under Adolf Hitler. A strong memo or a strong presentation, strong words, absolutely correct. Now, this article here by Deutsche Welle goes on to say, it also emerged that the health ministry in Berlin is fast-tracking efforts to push through both an extension beyond March 2021 and an expansion of the special rights granted to Health Minister Jens Spahn of the Christian Democrats. The new version of the so-called and much-cited Infection Protection Act would enable Spahn, listen carefully, to issue directives on his own initiative, provided that these, quote-unquote, are required for the protection of the population against the danger of serious infectious diseases. The new legislation would, for instance, give the minister the power to impose controls on international and national transport systems and issue special regulations for air and seaports. That new proposed change will also give, or would give, controversial Jens Spahn unlimited autocratic powers solely based on his own discretion, and they would be permanent. Now, without saying more, you know what the Bible says about, ultimately, 10 nations or groups of nations giving their power and their authority to the beast, who then will have autocratic powers. And you also know that it is Satan who will give the power to that beast. All I am saying here, without saying more, Jens Spahn is a person who should be watched. All right? So that's all at this point. Now, here's another example of complete total censorship. Again, Deutsche Welle wrote on October 23. Klaus Reinhardt, the president of the German Medical Association, the top honcho, the top guy, told a talk show on public broadcaster that he had doubts wearing simple non-medical masks outdoors was effective against the coronavirus. Such face coverings, he said, offered no protection at all to those wearing them, and only very little protection against infecting others. He says, orders to wear them outdoors are nonsense. Now, you can imagine the reaction. Everybody was shooting at him. How terrible for him to say these things, you know, quote unquote, science knows better. And of course, he gets all kinds of flack. People don't like to hear. Here's another one, The Blaze. I think it's actually published by Glenn Beck. The Blaze wrote on October 22, why not just conduct a randomized controlled trial to test whether masks work against COVID-19? Why assume such a draconian and dehumanizing mandate works as if it's an article of faith and create such division when we can discover which side is correct? That is what a group of Danish researchers felt, which is why, over the spring, they conducted such a study. So why have the results not been published 3 months later? The study has been rejected by 3 medical journals because the results are too controversial. They are too controversial. They list, actually, those 3 magazines. It's Lancet, it's the New England Journal of Medicine, and it's the American Medical Association's journal, JAMA. It's too controversial. Didn't say what was so controversial, but you can guess what it was. They probably came to the conclusion masks don't help. Masks don't work. The article goes on to say, in July, Dr. Fauci told a group of Georgetown University students that he has no intention of conducting a controlled study in the United States. No, you just have to believe, right? You're being told, you've got to believe, you're not allowed to question. And if you are questioning it, if you have a different kind of an opinion, then you're being censored. That is what's happening in the United States. That's what's happening around the world. And those of us who have the guts to stand up and to speak, being accused of being political. Some people leave us over this because they are afraid. They were afraid to come to South Dakota because in South Dakota we conducted worship services exactly in the way which God has decreed. With singing, without masks, without the stupidity of not hugging or having this social distancing. You know, we had 3 baptisms in Germany. We had a blessing of little children ceremony in Germany. We had anointings in Germany, even though this time we really didn't have any because, frankly, people didn't get sick. I think we might have had 1 or 2. We had 1 in the United States. And by the way, that reminds me of something else before I go on. Mr. Messier wrote me and he said that, you know, he had to go back into quarantine after he came back from the United States and he has 3 more days of quarantine. They also had 7 inches of snow today. But guess what? He got a call. He got a call from the government and they're asking them whether they actually are in quarantine. All right, talking about absolute autocratic kind of a procedure. But back to what I was talking about, Germany and the United States. Following the 3 major Church of God groups claiming all to be part of the body of Christ, we could not have had any baptism. We could not have any singing, or if you had singing, you had to have masks on to sing. You had to have social distancing, no hugging. You see, we couldn't have any anointing. We couldn't have had any blessing of the children because you would have touched people, right? You're not allowed to do that. I mean, how ridiculously nonsensical is all of that? I just gave a sermon to our German brethren, and I pointed out very clearly that God says, if you say you know God, and you don't keep his commandments, you are a liar, and the truth isn't in you. Now, he's not just talking about the 10 commandments. He's talking about any commandment. If you are willing to compromise with just any commandment, including commandments as to how to conduct worship services, what does John say in 1 John? I just read it to you. I just quoted it. And so many, far too many, you know, apart from the fact that they are by a vast majority voting in parliamentary elections now, in the presidential elections here in the United States pretty soon. Far too many have been compromising. And we point this out, and we are not liked for it, right? People don't like that. Well, somebody said to me, oh, I don't think I violated any commandment of God in doing what I'm doing. Well, you know, I think they did. In Germany, for instance, a couple left us, going to another group, wanting to keep the Feast of Tabernacles with that other group. And then, lo and behold, the other group canceled the feast site. So what did they do? They just went to a hotel, and they spent the Feast of Tabernacles in the hotel. Great alternative, isn't it? I mean, this is the kind of thing, because they didn't like necessarily the way we handled certain God-ordained injunctions. So better think about it, because, you know, compromise leads to compromise. The falling away starts with compromise, one after the other, after the other, after the other, and then you are, like the proverbial frog, don't even know anymore how hot the water has become. It's prophesied, it's going to happen. And again, a word of the wise to the wise.